This is the Intersection Faith, Work, and Life podcast hosted by Bob Varney and Hugh Brand. The Intersection is committed to helping people see that discipleship means we live by faith in God in all arenas of our lives all the time. If you want to hear more discipleship stories of people living by faith in every sphere of their lives, please invite others to listen to the Intersection podcast. Welcome and thanks for listening today to learn how Shireen Shaker has learned how to integrate faith into her daily work. Shireen is Vice President for Management and Operations at the American University in Cairo, Egypt. Her responsibilities include overseeing campus buildings and operations. After graduating with a major in mechanical engineering and a minor in computer science from the American University, she advanced to a successful career with Procter & Gamble, Alcatel-Lucent, and IBM in the field of global business services, real estate, and facilities management. She has led construction fit-out projects across Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. She has led the Y2K transition, business continuity, and crisis management for Procter & Gamble regionally. And she has led the COVID-19 task force for the American University for operations. She holds an executive master's degree in real estate and construction management from Denver University. And today, I have the privilege to interview Shireen. Shireen, welcome. So glad you're with Bob and I today.
Thank you, Hugh. Thank you,
Bob. Nice to see you again, Shireen.
Nice to see you. Thanks.
Always nice.
And Shireen, thank you for the gift that you left here as you came through Northern Virginia.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Shireen, tell us who are you? And then tell us, what do you do?
Okay, so I'm Shireen Shaker. I live in Cairo, Egypt. I've been born and raised there for the majority of my life. I lived a few places abroad, but primarily grew up in Egypt. And I have a degree in mechanical engineering, where I work now at the American University in Cairo as well, as Vice President of Management and Operations, which really means overseeing the campus, its buildings, its operations, and its services, all the non-academic, and I report to the president. I've been in the workplace for more than 30 years now. Started in P&G, Procter & Gamble in Egypt. I went with them, worked for a few years in Brussels in Belgium, and came back home in 2007. Did a few more corporate jobs and then moved to academia nearly 6 years ago, where I work now. I have two beautiful girls who are living and working in the States. One is in Virginia and one is currently in Indianapolis, where I'm visiting her, but she's on the move, so she'll probably be in a different state in a couple of weeks. So happy to be with you and always happy to connect with you and Bob, who are very special, and the journey we share together is extremely special. And I'm sure we'll talk more about that today. I attend church in Cairo, Egypt. Yeah, that's it.
And I was, as you were describing the work that you do, I just envisioned the tour that you gave us last time I was there, you know, around the campus. It's an amazing campus. It's a wonderful campus.
It actually is, yes.
And I think you mentioned, it wasn't clear when I first heard your position and what you did, the number of people that are engaged with you that you have responsibility for. Why don't you tell us that number? Because it's a good sized number.
Sure. So there are 800 people in my organization. 200, 300 security, a couple of hundred of maintenance staff. And then I oversee other services. So all the kind of food services, events, all kinds of business support services. And then we have two campuses. There's the New Cairo campus. There's a campus in downtown in Tahrir Square. So yeah, all in all, 800, a mix of obviously directors, managers, blue collars, guards, mechanics, you name it. So large team of people to be responsible for, but then I'm very honored also to do that because it gives me a lot of exposure to different people, different groups of people, and really leeway of making an impact on their lives. So very thankful for that as well.
Well, Shireen, I have to tell you, I'm jealous. I've not yet received a tour of American University. So next time.
I know, Bob beats you there.
I look forward to seeing that.
Next time you come.
Shireen, you oversee 800 people. That's an incredible number. But in the midst of that and all the other work you've had, tell us what it's been like for you to integrate your faith in the work you've been doing, not only there, but in the previous companies. Tell us about that.
Okay, so I think one of the kind of magnificent principles to really get and comprehend is the fact that it's all one thing. It's not about faith in the church, weekdays, and then Sunday. Weekdays at work and Sunday at church. It really doesn't work that way, but really it is about living one life, one integrated life, and living out our calling in the workplace is an honor and is a privilege. And it's something if we get right in our mind, then it becomes a lot easier to live. And we see the purpose and we see the value and we see the meaning of it when we try to get it right. So basically living my calling at the workplace all along the jobs that I've been at really means to me doing the best I can on the job that I'm put in and with the people that I work with day in, day out to do two things, to really get the best work product out there. So do it, you know, best I can, good quality, in the best way. And at the same time, work with people, treat them justly and fairly and with dignity. It really goes beyond the typical corporate phrase of collaboration, but really doing the best for people. And I think one thing that I really believe in very much is that people get it, and that you can't fake real love. So if you love them, treat them right with compassion, with dignity, it does come across. And if you fail to do that, it also comes across very easily. People are smart, no matter who, I mean, the category that you're dealing with, and people really tend to get it. And I think the beauty of working with a lot of people is that, I have a lot of opportunity to make an impact on people's lives, whether it's by when somebody is trying to choose another assignment to move into, whether someone is in a difficult situation, whether it's different kinds of situations are out there every day to show people, to really show them Jesus's love and compassion, and at the same time not compromise at all on work standards and doing the best for whatever the company, the university, the workplace. And I've seen God's hand move. I'm really very grateful for all the jobs that I was able to do and the movement I've done. I'm now going to be completing 6 years on the job at AUC. Big job, and it's only with God's grace that every day I can go to the workplace, do the best I can, and make an impact.
You know, I know that Hugh has a number of things he wanted to ask, but it strikes me that I'm curious. You've been through our leadership circle, and yet you began a while ago, back in when you were up in Belgium or whatever, beginning to see all of life as one. Could you describe a little bit about the journey and what might have been added in your as you went through the leadership circle and now as you lead those for other people? How has that affected you?
I think the leadership circle, it puts the principles that God spoke to me about and I was trying to live out gradually, bit by bit in my life. But when it was what the principles that are put together and packaged in a way that makes sense and that really, you know, it just makes sense when you see, okay, that's what God has been kind of training me on the job for, but at the same time, this is how the teaching or the principles are. It just sticks in your mind a lot more and you do it more purposefully and it just it makes sense more. You can make sense out of it all together in a better way. Leadership Circle is an amazing program, an amazing course. We'll talk a bit more about that, I assume, in the interview. But it really helped me put my hand very solidly on the principles that I already knew, but they were kind of scattered, but it just put them all together in one place and have a logic and a sense and a meaning to, in such a great way. And every single time we teach that course is just, you know, it's just very special. Every single time you get a new angle or, you know, solidifies more. And I mean, I can speak on behalf of the whole Egypt team. We just love the program. And and I'm sure that it will make a difference in many more lives. Everybody who goes through that cohort, it's really, really mind changing. And once you get your mind fixed, then you can easily live out the principles once you get your mind right.
Thank you so much for saying that, Shireen. It's again, our partnership has been a great time. Shireen, you know we love stories. Can you tell us a story of where you found it difficult to live by faith in your work, but also a story where you experienced a time where God came through and you experienced a victory, a success?
Okay, I can recall one thing. The majority of us know that the most difficult thing in the workplace is not really the work itself or the problem you're trying to solve, but more the relationships and how they work out in any given place or workplace. I can give an example of a relationship that started around 3 years ago when my boss created a role. And that role was put in place so that that role kind of audits some of my work, and we have to closely work hand in hand a lot together. So that role is basically called university architect, and that role is to put design in place and make sure the design guidelines of the campus isn't compromised. So that team would put the standards, and my team would execute according to those designs. So there was lots of things, lots of interactions back and forth. And initially, there was a lot of power struggle with that individual who was put in charge of that, who was filling that role. It was very, very rocky. It took a long time, day in, day out, to work on our relationship. And at times, it got very difficult, really difficult. And I was kind of giving up. I was like, okay, this is really hard to do. But again, I tried to, you know, do the right thing every time. And now I can look back and honestly say that now he's one of my best friends at work. We work very well together. We back up each other. When he's gone, I look after the work. When I'm gone, he looks after the work. And we work. I can see I want to call it miraculous, but it really was 180 degree. A turnaround in the relationship, and it is only by God's grace. That individual is not of the Christian faith. Egypt, for those who don't know, is made up of around 85% Muslims from the Islamic faith, and Christians are around 15%. So especially when I'm working, and I work every day, of course, with Muslims, they tend to really observe how Christians think and live and treat other people and do their work. And whenever you do something, you know, I want to say in a perfect way, it does stand out, and it is definitely always seen. So that person is of the Islamic faith, and I want to say that now I can give glory to God that I'm sure that He sees something different, and that we, you know, and we both enjoy the transformed relationship now at work that we have. So I'm very, very thankful to God for that.
And Shireen, the story you told us, this happened over a period of a day, or how long did it take for you to work through this journey with this fellow worker?
No, it's now 3 years long, but things started improving round about after a year, year and a half. So it does take a lot of work. It does take, you know, four steps forward, three steps back, kind of thing, up and down. But you need to, like anything in life, perseverance is the key. And when you, you know, when you put your heart on it, you need to make it work.
Thank you, Shireen. That's a powerful story. We all can relate. Shireen, I believe it was something like 2017 where we encountered you and others there that you work with. What would you say led you to want to partner with Cities Project Global and us?
The team of people that I serve with in Egypt, our focus is the workplace, and our focus is equipping believers to live their calling in the workplace. So when we saw the leadership circle and the topics that you talk about and that you that the course is hinged upon, we just saw such a great synergy and intersection between the two. And we really thought that this would, it really hit the spot. And we thought that, you know, it just makes so much sense to partner with you. And I think this was one of the best decisions that we've made. It does really go together so well. And every single time we teach that course, something is still an eye opener and something still is, new to learn. I think the way this course is packaged, all the engagement opportunities, the role plays, and you know, it's a very dynamic kind. It's not a static kind of teaching, but it's the way it's designed and made up is so engaging, is so fun. People get together, enjoy it. We never have a cohort that doesn't fully enjoy their time together, and we just uncover the principles in such a creative and nice way. There's videos, there's debates. These are one of Hugh's favorite ones when he was trying to teach us that course. It was hard to get us under control at times, but such is the Mediterranean culture for those who haven't worked with any of us. it's a lot of fun. At the same time, we uncover principles together. We discover, we learn, we talk, we discuss, we debate. It's just a lot of fun. So I would highly, highly encourage anyone who hasn't done that course to go through it. Definitely worth it.
Shireen, I have to tell you, I remember one of our first trips, Bob and I were there with you and the others, your team, in your living room. And we were talking, trying to decide whether we would want to work with one another. And one of your colleagues said, can we talk with one another in Arabic and then we'll get back to you? And Bob and I sat there for about 10 minutes as you guys discussed. And then you came back and said that you would be delighted to work with us. And of course, Bob and I had already made that decision that we were delighted to work with you guys. And it's been a great relationship all these years since 8 years now, I believe. It's been a delight.
It has been great. It has been great. Yeah. And I'm very proud to say that many ideas were born in my living room.
Yes, I think so. And I have to say this is, my favorite word in Arabic, which I probably don't pronounce right, but it is gadel.
Yes.
And my understanding is it means discussion.
Debate.
Yes. I remember the first time we were going through it and I was facilitating all of you. And you're right. I would give you a couple questions and you just got into this really strong debate discussion. I said, what do you call this in Arabic? And you told me gadel. And I said, I was so impressed with your gadel because you're right.
Yeah, we're very hot-tempered people.
it's obvious you learn from one another, because that's the idea of the leadership circle is we want workplace leaders who are experts to learn from one another and engage one another and not give in easily, but to, again, really learn from each other. And you guys do that really well.
Yeah, we always recognize that. You know, you have a bunch of Christians coming together. Each of us has been walking with the Lord a different amount of time. God makes us different. I mean, we have different gifts. We're different personalities. We have different experiences. So it's easy to, when you sit back and think about it, to realize that there's, with a table full of about 15 people and we bring up some topic on the table, some people have gone pretty far on that topic already. They've had experiences and they can bring those back so that others can learn from what they had already learned through God. You know, so it's, we really rely on the journeys that the members of the leadership circle have had before they even show up. And that makes this Goodell really rich, I think.
Yes, yes, correct.
Yeah. Michelle, excuse me, I'm Shireen. You've already told us an example how what you found helpful with the leadership circle, but can you give another example? How has the leadership circle added to your work in your life? Is there something else that stands out to you that you would like to mention today?
Okay, there's one of those, one of the topics I just cannot get over every single time, which is this, which is Sky Gitani's. And if someone has read his book or seen the videos, it's about what definition of what shalom is. And he defines it very, very, very nicely as when you come into a disorderly place and you manage to get out of it beauty, order, and abundance, which is what God did in the Garden of Eden. Before, it was just very unorderly; it was all over the place, and that's what He did. And that beauty was the first word that He used: first beauty, then order, then abundance. And if we look at our jobs, that's really what we, at the end of the day, we get an output, whether it is mostly beauty, mostly order, mostly abundance, or the three together. And that principle is just, for me, every time I think about work or think about situation I'm put in, and it's make it, and it's really that output, the blend of the three is really what shalom is all about. And if we can bring that to our, whether it's our workplace, our community, our city, wherever we are, that is getting the kingdom of God to the place. And that's what shalom looks like. I love that principle, and I really try to live by it. And every time I think about it, it's just mind-blowing. There's many things in the leadership circle that have kind of made a mark. And it's really, and I want to say it's the transformation of the mind is really what this course is all about. I mean, there's two objectives, really the mind process, and then at the end there's outputs, physical things that we can do as projects to help the community. But they're equally both as important, but the mind piece is very, very fundamental. And a lot of, I can name a lot of things that I really love about leadership cycle, but this one is my absolute favorite, the beauty, order, and abundance. To shalom.
That's great. Yeah, one of the things that happened to me long before the leadership circle was I was working in transition, you know, and I ended up doing the transition, being the architect of the transition from Bill Bright stepping out of his president role. But what had happened to me is I'd gone through a lot of transitions beforehand, and I was curious about them. So I asked a friend of mine, he sent me a bunch of books. I thought I was going to be studying these things for the next year or so. But it only took me a few weeks, because what I found was that in my particular case, I found principles. I found extensive work on the depth of those concepts. I found some research that supported those concepts. I found structure that they went into. I found naming things, you know, so they got sort of organized for me. So as we began putting this leadership circle together, we borrowed things from different people so that you could get a picture of, this is what somebody says this looks like, and this is its structure, and this is its name, and this is how it fits into a diagram, and this is how it fits into some research. And so all of these things together, it seems to me, help people like your beauty, order, and abundance. I mean, we got it from Sky Gitani, and he packages it in a certain way. And just the packaging of a concept is particularly valuable. So we've tried to put a bunch of those into the leadership circle for that reason.
Yeah, and you've done it very successfully, I have to say.
Thanks.
Well, the great thing is, I think, Shireen, you guys have made it culturally appropriate for you in Egypt. And tell us, how many cohorts have gone through it in Arabic?
We have done, is it five or six? I get confused. I think we've just finished our sixth.
Yeah. I know you've had now quite a few people go through it over these 5 or 6 years.
Yes, we typically start out at around 20 to 22 participants. It's very typical that around 2 to 4 don't make it for reasons either they get too busy or they can't make the commitment. But we normally end up with around at least 16 to 18 in a given cohort. And again, we just completed now a cohort where we added the spheres together with the basic leadership circle, which was the first time that we've done that both in one. It was a long one because we did them back to back. And we had around, I think, 24 participants in this cohort.
You mentioned spheres, that this was added in. Tell us about the spheres. What is this that you're mentioning?
Okay, so these are the you can dissect society into the, I mean, that's one way of looking at seven spheres, which are education, family, technology and business, religion, media, and the arts and entertainment. So that's, I mean, there's different ways you can dissect in any society, and that's one of them. And that's a curriculum that YWAM have put together. And basically, it's really very powerful because it gives you a deeper way of looking by sector or by sphere into that society, in society, how that sphere comes into play, what needs to be restored about that sphere, and really is kind of an application of the leadership circle principles, but how to apply it in the different spheres. Again, both curricula are very different in terms of format and the way they're done. So we're still in the experimenting phase with the spheres. It's very biblical, so a lot of biblical foundation, a lot of scripture that they refer to in particular as relates to each sphere, and very, very powerful. It really is the application at the end and how kingdom leaders can impact the spheres that they work in in a way that brings the glory to God and restores and brings that field to restoration while working at it.
You did a great job describing that. Thank you so much. I agree. It's been really great that we have partnered with YWAM to bring this powerful curriculum in as part of the leadership circle, but unique in its own right, as you described. Shireen, you know that just last year we published our first book called The Intersection, Faith, Work, and Life. And again, it was exciting for us to see that you guys were the first one to translate it into another language, to translate it into Arabic. And we're just delighted because we have a desire, as do you, to get this message of living with God every day, living out our faith in an integrated way. But Shireen, tell us, what are your plans for using this book now that you have it in Arabic?
We just got it translated very recently, and we're still beginning to find ways to distribute it. So one of the ways that we're hoping we can get copies out to people is by having it available in conferences or conventions or, you know, retreats that we go to, partnering with different churches or different entities. So we're going to a conference in hopefully, God willing, we go in the fall in Africa, in Ghana, and we plan to take some copies with us. We just got the prints very recently, so we haven't yet, I mean, we're not, we haven't yet started on a very, you know, large scale, but we do plan to have them ready in any, you know, using them with, as I said, in any opportunity that we can. The beauty of Arabic is that Arabic is, spoken and read in all the Arab countries and not just Egypt. So we also have opportunity to get it beyond, in the Levant areas and the beyond. The beauty of this book is that it is, it's a simple read. It's a relatively small book. It's an easy read. It really taps into the basic principles without elaborating too much on them, but it gives kind of a foretaste to what the whole, the bigger course is about And I think it's a very attractive way to pass it on to people. I've given a few copies to people in my workplace, and it touches on the principles, giving them a kind of a teaser of what they can expect or look for in a bigger course. So I think it's, I mean, it can be used very nicely. And now that we have both the English and the Arabic language, hopefully, I mean, the word spreads to, many more people. So congratulations on the book, and we're very happy that we're the first to translate.
Right. I was excited to get my copy, Shireen. This is the front.
I have the English. The I just got it from you, you a few days ago.
So that's good. That's good.
Okay, it seems like I'm jealous today because I do not have a copy of it in Arabic yet. So there's a lot of truth coming out in this podcast. Shireen, as you've had a chance to read through the book, can you see it being helpful in recruiting people to the leadership circle? But also, how do you see it being helpful just to people who read it and maybe they would not join the leadership circle? How do you see it being helpful?
No, it's still very, very helpful. And I think one of the most powerful principles that are being laid down in the book is the whole principle of culture, what it takes to change culture. What is culture? What are we called to do about culture as believers? And I think the whole discussion around culture is so powerful and so important. So even if people decide not to join any, you know, leadership circle cohorts or the spheres or whatever, but they still address very important topics. And it's not topics, they're not topics that the church preaches about every day. Actually, very rare does the church get into, I would say they look as non-spiritual, however, very, very impactful. And they really do impact the way we work, we live in such a great way. So the whole topic of culture is very nicely addressed in the book. And I think it would make a lasting difference in anybody who reads it. So it can be used independently, whether to, you know, invite people to the course or not, or just as a great book. And again, as I said, a very nice and easy read. I think you guys have done really well with the book.
Thank you. That's really great. And I really appreciate what you say about culture, because there's nuances in culture that we often miss. I mean, I think we're all familiar with the story of the frog. You know, you put the frog in a little piece of water and you put it on the stove and he's happy swimming around in a little bowl. And then you turn the heat up and he's still a little happy and he doesn't notice. And at some point he dies because it just gets too hot, right? Well, culture is like that. You know, when we grow up in a culture, and we see a lot of this in the digital world that we live in, the effect that it's now having on the children that are growing up in the midst of it. You know, a culture affects us when we're not noticing it, just like the frog, you know. So if we can help wake people up to the idea that culture actually matters, what is my culture? And asking the question, well, is my culture affecting me in a way I actually don't want it to affect me? Oh my goodness. Now what do I do? I mean, so it's a powerful thing, this notion of culture. So I'm glad you brought that up. Thanks.
Yeah. And the fact that we are culture, we're called to be culture makers and culture changers, right, and that we can impact. We're not just receivers. We're not just consumers. I think this is very well, very nicely handled in the course and in the book with different angles. I think it's just great. So the more we get exposed to that, the more it will make a difference.
Well, you know, Shireen, we're also wanting to have the book translated into four other languages like Portuguese and Spanish and French and Russian. You know, and we also desire that it would be taken to other Arabic-speaking countries. And do you guys have any plans for how you might expand what you're currently doing and maybe how you can use the book or other means to continue to spread this teaching that God is restoring all of his creation. He's inviting us to join him in doing that.
Amen. No, I think our plans are to start using it more and more since we just got it printed, and, you know, take it with us wherever we're, you know, we're traveling to a conference soon in the fall. We're So tapping into opportunities like that, I think will help us reach more people with that great book. We're hoping that so far we've only been doing cohorts in Cairo. We're hoping to extend that to go in Upper Egypt, other places within Egypt that we haven't gone to, as well as other places in the Arab world that we haven't gone to. So I think there's potential there. And hopefully we've thought about in our core team, if we kind of split and we start handling more geographies in terms of we want to start more in Egypt and upper Egypt, where we really think that there's a big need there. So that's, I think, we're hopeful that that will be our next step or milestone. We're actually looking at also trying to do shorter versions of the course, so that we can also reach other church entities and institutions by that. That's our kind of next project, and we're hopeful that we go there. And again, part of our Middle Eastern culture is our time aspect is very fluid. We tend to go longer in discussions, longer. We like long and happy discussions, but we're trying to reach a format where we go short and concise, so that we can explore opportunities where people don't have that much time. They want a shorter version, kind of a 3-day course or something that would give them in a nutshell what it's all about without going through the whole journey. So we're having some thoughts about that, and we're looking hopefully to get kind of a different format of the course developed, hopefully by end of this year, so that we can also reach more people in a different way, other than the long cohort that is very, very nice, but for people who have the time to go through the long cohort.
Yeah, as you know, from some of our previous discussions, we're also working, Hugh and I are working on what we call some modules that we can actually put online. Now the format changes dramatically when you move out of a person-to-person interaction where you have discussions. The Gadel is hard online, but nevertheless, it's another venue for us. You know, like the book is a venue of getting these principles out in forms that people can get to them easily and get into a place where they say, you know, I'd like to go a little further into this, so maybe I want to join a leadership circle. So we should continue to work our, exchange notes.
Yes.
As we both think about what shorter looks like and what are the concepts that you really want to exercise, which ones come first, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And online is great. Online is just such a great tool.
Yeah.
It makes it accessible and easy for all across different time zones, different borders. So yep. I think also tapping into an online version is probably a great idea.
Well, you know, Shireen, having had the privilege of coming to Cairo many times and riding in a car with you, going from one side to the other can take a long time in this fairly large city of 20 million. So you're right, using Zoom, doing it online, even within this great city of 20 million can really be a benefit. Because you don't have to spend yes. an hour and a half to get from one spot to another. And again, I think you guys have done a great job. And, you know, I have to tell you, I have so admired that you guys have built in retreats when you take people through the leadership circles. So not just one, or not just one at the end or in the beginning, but during the time you take them away where they have a chance, I think, to really get to know one another, but a chance for maybe relaxed Gadel, where there's time to just, not just during the session, but afterward when you're having meals and all that. Am I right to say that?
Yes, absolutely. No, I think what we've learned is when we start off with a retreat, the very first month or two, or no matter how many months of the leadership circle we put in the first retreat, makes a big difference because people connect face-to-face, they get to know one another. It's a much nicer, launch pad in the beginning, which gets people to really interact a lot more faster, I would say, and get to know each other better. So in this last cohort, we had two retreats, one in the beginning and one around in the middle when we started the spheres. And it was actually a great experience. I think having at least one retreat in the mix adds a lot, and people get to know each other so much better, and which also helps when people are then wanting to focus on a project. It's then easier to know what people do, what they work, and having them know each other faster also kind of expedites that choice of project to work on in starting the middle. So it was definitely something that we hope that we can always repeat, having at least one retreat during the journey. We go to very basic places, like church retreat centers. That's what we do. And we go for the weekend, starting Thursday night, going back home Saturday night. So typically that's what a retreat would look like.
I think that's fascinating. What you're saying is workplace leaders live very full lives, like yourself, all the work you have to do. And yet when you offer a retreat, people make time and they come to the retreat. And that, I'm sure part of it is they see the great value of being on that retreat, and they will have the opportunity to get to know people better, but also to dig deeper into the topics that we present to them. So yeah, you guys have really been a teacher to me, communicating to me the power of these retreats and what you do during the retreats. And of course, the excellent food that is offered and the beautiful location of each retreat center. It's and you guys have really discovered something powerful there. You really have. Shireen, we're coming toward the end of our time. And what else do you want to tell our listening audience? What do you want to say to Bob and I, but to say to the many, many, many people that are listening as well? What do you need to say to them?
I think we as believers, people who are in the workplace, we have such great potential and opportunity to make an impact. And I think you don't work to get food on the table. I mean, that's really not what work is. And if you work with a purpose and seeing what God wants to do through your work, and again, you can be a waiter, you can be working in a factory, you can be a manager, you can be an executive manager, I mean, whatever level, in whatever God has called us, each one to do, according to his own vocational calling, is very precious, it's very impactful. And how we live our calling every day in the workplace is such a great honor and privilege that the Lord has given us. So not to be taken lightly. And we need to look for ways to really live our calling in a better way. We need to look for ways to do our work better. We need to look for ways to join like-minded people. And it doesn't have to be people of the same faith, but people who care about the same things and really try to make an impact. I'm very grateful for the work and the journey that God has used me in my career and in the jobs that I was exposed to. I don't know how many years I can enjoy working and enjoying what I'm doing and liking my work. But I know it's not by coincidence. I know that God puts us where we are because he has great plans and he has good things and that he wants to bring about shalom. And again, that whole mind-boggling beauty, order, and abundance never leaves my mind. But there's many, many more things about what is the kingdom of God and the four chapters and how to bring restoration to whatever problem or field you're in. There's so many things that we can practice in the workplace that really makes it very, very, very special. So I want to encourage everybody who has a tough job. I have a very tough job. Some days are difficult. Some days there's issues, there are problems. I can't even start, where should I start resolving it? Some days aren't, a walk in the park. But again, in it all, I can just see God's hand moving. And I can see myself growing into a more capable person who can impact the place I'm in. So I'm thankful, I'm grateful, I'm hopeful. And I want to encourage people to understand more about living our calling in the workplace, to, seek to become culture changers, culture makers. So all these principles are so important and make such a huge impact. and will enable us to leave a legacy, each in his own job with his own way, and with a special imprint. So I want to thank you all. I want to thank you very much for today and for all the previous years of working together in such a fun way. You guys are very special, and God will continue doing great things. And thank you. Thank you for hosting me today.
Well, Shireen, thank you for that powerful last word. You said so much in your summary there. It was powerful. Bob, do you want to say anything before I ask you to close us our time in prayer?
No, I just I agree with you. I really do appreciate the relationships that we've had, the relationship that we've had over the years, and the way you articulate how you feel about that relationship, about the leadership circle, about what has happened, and how you do your work. I mean, it's all wrapped up very, very nicely. So nicely done, nicely said. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shireen. Bob, can you close us then?
Well, let me just pray. Our Heavenly Father, you created us to work with you, to know you, to have a relationship with you. And you've given us work to do. I mean, we have work, all of us have daily work of one kind or another. And as we've found through our research, there's only a very small percentage of people that work in the religion sphere. But the rest of us are all still working in your kingdom for you. So I pray that more and more people will get to understand that they will get the joy of knowing that when we think about growing the kingdom, when we think about leading people to Jesus, so much of it happens in the workplace. We have so many opportunities to be an example to other people of who Jesus is and the kind of person and the kind of character traits that we need to have. We think of joy and peace and uplifting conversations. So many things we can do, all of them just help people see that there's a Jesus in us. So Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity we all have to be in the workplace to represent you. I thank you for Shireen. I thank you for the whole team in Cairo of the work that they've been doing in the leadership circle, and therefore the work that they're doing out in their workplaces. So thank you. I ask you to be with them. I ask you to be with Shireen as she's with her daughter, and enjoy the time and the safe travels back to Cairo. So Father, thank you. Thank you for this time together. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you to all of our listeners for joining us on this sixth The Intersection Faith, Work, and Life podcast with Shireen Shaker. We ask you to go to our website, citiesprojectglobal.com, or to LinkedIn, or to the Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and subscribe to our podcasts. And if you have found our podcasts helpful, please let us know through a review. Thank you again, Shireen, for joining us today.
Thank you.